Hey fans, welcome to the Yellow Jacket Experience. I'm your host, Thomas Poole, Director of Athletic Communications here at AIC. This week, we will be talking with student athlete Jana Potich of the volleyball team as we discuss the upcoming season, as well as her transition to the United States from Serbia. We will then be talking with Art Wilkins, head football coach, about his storied career. Welcome back, everyone, to the Yellow Jacket Experience. I'm here with Jana Potich. Last year, you were an AVC All-American, AVCA All-East Region, 2018 NE10 Player of the Year, and then 2016, you were the NE10 Rookie of the Year. Jana, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me here.
So we'll jump in a little bit, talk about this upcoming season, and then we'll get to know a little bit about you, your life, some of your stories, some of your background, and just to get to know you on a better level. So our first question, in your three seasons here at AIC, you've played in three East Region Championship games, and you've won two of them. How much work has that taken for you to get to those games, and then what are you doing to get back to that level again this year?
When I came here, I thought I'm going to be the only international one, but coach recruited Dolores. And from that moment, we had that look in us and we were like, okay, we are giving our best, practice every day. And as a team, we practice every day. We had first time in my life that experience that we have 3 or 4 games per week. And because in Europe, it's a little bit different. The league goes from December and ends in June, so it's much longer. It's yep. One game for a week. Here it's 3 or 4 games a week, so a lot of practices.
So did that take you a lot of time to get used to in terms of making sure your body was in shape?
At the beginning, came here, I got injured after another injury. I was like, okay, this is not good. I gotta step up with my body. I have to work harder. I mean, it's not like I wasn't in the shape, but my muscles weren't as strong as they are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that definitely sounds like something that takes a lot for your body to learn how much you're using it, how much you're competing at that high level, and how that can definitely lead to more injuries. Has that been something that your body has eventually got used to, especially in that first year?
Yes. Now, thank God, last year there was no injuries with me or with Dolores or with any other girls. But I mean, major injuries except Diva previous year had an ankle, but that's unlucky in the game. But now we know how the deal is. We know that we have games Tuesday, Thursday, maybe even Saturday. Mm-hmm. So you know that you have to stretch before, after practice. You have to lift 3 times a day, and you have to do stretching on your own as well in order for your body to stay into shape.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Diva and you mentioned Dolores, but also throwing Evelyn into the mix. You also have 3 seniors. What are you doing this year, and really, how did that change the team, and what are you working on this year, especially as you are now the on-court leader?
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of lost. No, just kidding. No, last year it was Diva, Evelyn, Dolores, who were the seniors, and they had the game, they were the leaders, and I was just there, of course, following them. But now I feel, I have more responsibility, especially that all the other girls in the team, no one from them was not even 2 years with a coach. Andrea, Amanda, everyone, they were playing, of course, but this is their second year. And I feel I need to be have more leadership in the court and off the court as well. So, but all of them are helping me with, we have another girl, Sarah, she's older, she's a grad student. With Ada coming back and Andrea continuing, it's gonna be great.
So you having that leadership role, does that change how you approach the game or how you approach different situations if there's conflict on the court, off the court, or just different things going on with the team?
I think definitely now I need to have more patience because usually coach was telling me, oh, you're so sassy. But now I need to be more patient and explain them why is that like that and how we do things at AIC, what is our culture, and what's the way that they should do it, and give their maximum at practices at the games.
Yeah, And with the loss of those three seniors, you actually brought in a huge, or Coach Cribben brought in a big class. You have eight new players, yes. And then returning is Otto.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you mentioned earlier was Sarah Lowry coming in as a grad transfer from St. A's. She's been into the NCAA tournament twice in her career. How has that, having her, helped you transition and then also help you on the court become a better leader as well?
Well, first of all, Sarah is great, great attribution to AAC volleyball team. She's a great girl and a great player, and also she's very experienced. I can also say she has a little bit more experience than me, including the American way of volleyball and college life. So she got the role as well in the same second that we were in the locker room, and with her helping me with responsibilities like girls taking the jerseys, water bottles, med kits, some things that I didn't know when I came as a freshman. I was completely lost. I was like, what is a med kit? We got everything under control.
Well, good. Sounds like you have definitely embraced the opportunity and been stepping up to the plate with it.
Yeah.
Last season, you were named an AVCA All-American, just the second time a Yellow Jacket had been named an All-American, and both you and Dolores received the honor. How did you find out that you were an All-American, and then what was going through your head during that experience?
I found out because you posted it on AAC Yellow Jacket. And I don't know, I was so happy. Diva was the first one who got an award previous year, and I didn't know. I told you again, freshman year, I was so lost. I didn't know anything. And when they told me that's the thing, that's a big deal, I was like, oh my God, so happy for her. And 2 years after, me and Dolores got it. And I was like, okay, we get this now. And I'm so happy. I'm so proud that we are bringing, embracing volleyball here, because before, not a lot of people watched volleyball games, didn't know, like, oh, volleyball is bad sport. But now I feel everyone is asking us, like, oh, when is our next volleyball game? Well, let's go, girls, supporting us. And I think that's the biggest award for me.
So now that we're under a week away from their first games, as you guys go down to Florida to participate.
If we go to Florida.
I'm pretty sure you will, to compete in the Barry Invitational. Talk about what your expectation is for the team this weekend and what you expect to see from your teammates.
Always these tournaments at the beginning are very tough, and I think that coach is doing that great, because he's bringing us to the very hard tournament that we know we can beat easily, and we have to give our maximum, so we see where are we and we see on what level we want to compete. And Barry is what, 6th in the nation? 16th in the nation, and there's going to be Minnesota as well. And you know, when you see those players at the beginning, you know, okay, this is a level I want to be, and I'm going to give my maximum. And of course, I expect us to be at our best level. I'm not sure. Like last year, we were at California and we lost all three games, but that experience was the best, because we clicked in that tournament, and we knew that, okay, this team is going to make big difference in any 10 East region, and I hope this is going to happen the same year as well.
So sort of transitioning, you talked a little bit earlier about your freshman year and how you had some transition issues and trying to learn the different culture and different things.
Completely lost.
What was the hardest part of that transition to the U.S.?
Including the time difference?
Yeah.
No, just overall cultural shock coming to volleyball. I never ever had something called freshman, junior, sophomore, junior, and senior. I didn't even know what was a rookie, and then after they explained me, like taking like all the responsibilities, like, okay, you're younger, you have to take out the nets, you have to do this. I mean, everything that is, it was different for me, but I love the thing that is different. Also coming before practice to stretch and having trainers. Usually in Serbia, it's after the practice. The trainers come to the gym and then they stretch and stuff. But I don't know. It's different experience, because back home is club. Here is more college volleyball.
Yep.
And I like it.
So as we mentioned, you had Dolores here at that same time. Granted, she was new to Springfield, but she had been in the year or in the States for a year already before she transferred to AIC. Did having another Serbian really help you with that transition?
Yes, yes. I had a third Serbian as well, Natalia, and I mean, she was already married, So two of them helped me a lot, because I was so lost. And especially Dolores on the court as well, because Natalia didn't play because of her injury. And I had that connection with Dolores straight on the court. I mean, I could talk Serbian, what ball I want, and she would distribute that ball to me like that, and I didn't have to worry. But also off the court, we were roommates. Natalia was living on Acorn close to us, and everything that I need, I had through them, and everything that I didn't know how to do, they explained me. And there was a lot of things that explained me, but it meant a lot. But not only them, honestly, Andrea Dillon, Lauren Pires, and Sobo, they helped me a lot as well. I was the freshman, but I was mostly with seniors because I had to learn how you do things right.
And then how were you able to take that help that other people showed you and give it to Angela, who's now on the team this year, but also Bane on the men's basketball team of Hill.
And there is one more Serbian in basketball team, Matija.
Yeah, he's new this year, right?
Yeah.
So how were you able to take how you were taught and led and help these other Serbians come in and get them used to the culture?
Well, Bane and Matija are actually in America before me. They went to the prep schools. But Angela haven't, and this is actually her first year at college volleyball because she was playing for junior college. And honestly, I saw that I thought that she got a little bit lost, but we talked again. It's so much easier when you have someone from your country, when you can talk your language and explain how you do things here. And the fact that I like about Angela, she's very smart and she gets things like this easily. And She's straight, and I think it's going to be great with her. Maybe she's going to have a problem with coach's sassiness, same as I did, but it's going to be good.
Now, is that a little Serbian thing, or is that...
I think so, because in Serbia, if I say something to you and I don't say please in the end of my sentence, you'll think that I'm rude, right?
Okay.
But actually, it's not. It's just like the way I say things, like, can you pass me that? Without saying please. But now I learned you have to say please and thank you.
Yeah, because Dolores had some of that feistiness too. Like, I remember watching you and her on that in the first year. That was my first year here at AIC as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw just a different interaction, obviously getting to know you and getting to know your culture. Definitely helps a little bit, but at the same time, I'm sure that it can come off sassy to some
Definitely.
People. So switching gears once again a little bit, what are you majoring in?
Finance and minor in accounting.
And then what's your plan for that once you graduate?
Oh, tough question. Definitely, I would like to stay in U.S. for a little bit. So either it will be an OPT program, like having visa to work 1 year, or maybe even a master's. I don't know. I was talking with coach because Dolores went to Bentley, and she got a GA assistant opportunity. So I don't know if something like that is possible for me. Or I will do OPT. But I'm not ready to go back to Serbia yet.
You're liking your time in the States, I'm guessing?
I like that I'm more independent here, and I'm myself here.
Is there sort of like a touch to home that you have had while your time's here, like a Serbian restaurant or just something that reminds you of home?
Yes. The closest one actually is in Hartford. So for last year for the Serbian night, we drove all the way to Hartford and bought the Serbian traditional food, a little meat. I don't know. Have you tried it?
Yeah, I tried it that night. It was so delicious.
Only thing that I miss the most from Serbia is food, I swear. It's so good. It's so delicious. And Ada was in Serbia, and she was fascinated with the food, so I hope coach maybe makes an international tour or something, so you see Serbia, try Serbian food.
Oh, I'd be more than happy to go over there and try it, regardless of when it is.
No, it's more meat and potatoes, and it's beautiful. Oh, it's delicious.
Sounds delicious.
Everything organic.
So the last question, a question that I'm going to start asking to all of our guests, is what moment of your life has had the biggest impact on you?
Tough question. Honestly, the moment when I stepped into the plane the first time, the plane across the ocean. Because mm-hmm. after that moment, nothing was the same as it was before. Now I have two homes, which one is AIC and the other one is Serbia. I have two lives. I mean, one is here, one is home. I have my people here, my people, my families, and it's not bad, don't get me wrong. It's just sometimes it's so hard on me because when I go home, I'm lost because this was my home, but mm-hmm. now I don't have my AIC people here. I don't have my hobbies that I do. I don't have practices, gym every day. But also when I come here, I don't have my family. So that moment was the life changer, and I love it, and I don't regret one thing that I did, and I'm happy that I had the opportunity to come from Serbia, to come to US, and just experience American culture, to experience college volleyball, and experience all things that we did through volleyball, because it was great moments. I mean, as you said, we went to two East Regional Championships, and we went to Elite Eight. We went to the last year to the festival. It's really amazing, and I've traveled in. We went to North Dakota, Pittsburgh, New York, and when I think about it, like I did this in my 4 years of mm-hmm. life. I came here. I was 19, and now I'm 22. It's so nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jan, for stopping by and giving us some time, and good luck this weekend, and come home with a couple wins.
I hope we do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. We'd like to take a quick break to invite everyone to the 5th Annual Yellow Jackets Club Golf Tournament and Dinner on Monday, September 16th at Springfield Country Club. Go to AICYellowJackets.com for more information. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Experience. I'm your host, Thomas Poole, and I'm here with head football coach Art Wilkins as we talk a little bit about the upcoming season as well as his storied career. Thank you for joining us, Coach.
Tom, it's great to be here. Great to talk about AIC.
Coach, starting off this year, we have Bowie State coming in. It's the first time we've played a non-conference opponent at home in a couple of years. Can you talk about what you're expecting from them this upcoming Saturday?
Sure. Bowie has won their conference 2 years in a row. They beat West Alabama last year in the first round of the NCAAs. This is a strong team. They've been picked to win their conference again, not just their division, but their conference. So it's a very strong football team. They return one preseason All-American and a defensive tackle, Joshua Pryor, and a defensive end is up for consideration. And a great wide receiver. They've been highly productive on offense. They are physical and fast on defense. So it's a formidable opponent. It's a great one for the league because of the way the NCAAs are picked. It's kind of a computer ranking. So there are points to be had in playing Bowie, not just for us, but for the entire conference.
Mm-hmm. So then looking ahead, the next week we'll have Bentley in a non-conference matchup at home. Then you hit the road for New Haven, a team who's returning a lot of good players and is picked fairly high at the, in the preseason coaches bowl.
New Haven is an outstanding football team, very well coached. They're very solid. They actually won the first round of the NCAAs last year. And so they're a great team for the first time in my memory, which should go back quite a ways, we have 6 home games and 4 away. The last time I know that was when we played in the NCAAs in 2008. And before that, I didn't check, but it's somewhere around 2000. So we're looking forward to have 6 home games. I think they're games for the fans to come out and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, one of those home games is on October 26th against Franklin Pierce University, which is a homecoming. Sort of a unique experience with that in terms of that not only is Franklin Pierce now have a full football team, in the past they've had the sprint football, but now we get to host them for homecoming. Can you talk about that game a little bit?
Well, Franklin Pierce is a great addition to our league. They're a regular member of the NE10, so their coach is has a great background. They're going to do a great job. We're looking forward to playing them and becoming a full-fledged member of the conference.
And then rounding out our home schedule is really November 9th, St. Anselm. But we'll also be honoring the seniors and then also be honoring the 150th anniversary of college football. Can you talk a little bit about St. Anselm and that game, and then as well as what the 150th year of college football means to you?
Well, I understand that the first game is now a parking lot over at Rutgers, and so it's a long and storied career. My dad was a basketball and a baseball coach, collegiate, and he coached semi-pro football and had connections with the Green Bay Packers. I've grown up with football, and so the heritage, not just on the football field, but the great men that football has produced is something that America should revere. And so 150 years, that's a great opportunity to really think about what the game has meant to America and what it has done to American society.
So historically, a lot of your teams have been a very hard-nosed defensive type of team. Can you talk about your defense this for what you're seeing for this upcoming year?
They've had an outstanding preseason. We've had a number of coaching changes, but on defense, we're really pretty stable. We added one coach, C.J. Williams, who played at Assumption, and so they worked together all summer. And so C.J. Ibism is probably our best player. Jason Thompson is a captain and is all over the place, has been a formidable leader. We didn't have Terquise Johnson last year. He's a shutdown corner. And we've had a lot of people step up. Last year we had 72 injuries, so 72 not new starters, but people playing the role. So we've had a lot of people with experience. So I think Chuck Robinson has really stood out in the secondary. And we've looked very good on defense.
Looking on the offensive side of the ball, you have three really good standout players who made an impact last year. You also had Prince behind center. You had Samad Davila in the backfield, and then you also had Tommy Smith running your routes. Can you talk a little bit about your offense?
Sure. There's been a fall off in recent years offensively, and not everything is connected to quarterback, but certainly we haven't had great quarterback play. Right now, we have two quarterbacks playing very well. So Prince Olubukinde and a transfer from Campbell University, a Big South team, a Division I team. And they're still – either one could start, and not just because I have to pick one, but, you know, if I – the other guy is just as good, is what I think. Samad has had a great spring and preseason. Tommy Smith is banged up. We moved him from spread receiver to wide receiver, and he's been lights out. So there is question about whether he'll be able to play in this first game. Faison Carney played at the flanker position, the wide receiver to the field, and he's an outstanding student, but he's a little shy, so it took him a while to kind of find him, get him to step up. But he had ESPN Play of the Week at the end of last year, and he's also been outstanding.
Yeah, he had that nice one-handed catch running down the right sideline or between the sideline and the hashes, and like you said, made ESPN, and I know that went viral a little bit. Did that do anything to bring him out of his shell or make him a little bit more confident?
I don't think so. So I think it was just a matter of getting settled, and he was about ready to – I don't think he would have made the play if he hadn't settled down. And so he just started to become the player he could be, and so we expect big things out of Faison. He's fast as heck now.
So, Coach, looking back, your 26th season here at AIC, I know one of the things that you started last year is honoring a couple of teams every year at homecoming or at different games. Can you talk about your plan for that for this upcoming year?
Sure. So last year was the first time we were really enabled to go out and fundraise with our alumni, and so we've made a lot of contact. So we're celebrating the 85 team. There are several candidates for the players from those years. They have a big get-together in Maine, which mm-hmm. I've attended the last 2 years. So the 85 team is a was a great football team, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of great players. We've got players there who should be in the Hall of Fame shortly. We got Bob Bramble coming on at 81, so he's on the outside of that. He kind of sits between the 80s group and the 70s group. But that is an outstanding team. There are some really good human beings, and we haven't done enough to celebrate them. So given the opportunity to go out and fundraise and meet everybody, well, I found out just how fabulous they are, and we're trying to give back to them. I guess we do want them to give back to us too, but we're trying to give back to them. They need some recognition from AIC. The 99 team was... I've had some people say that that's the best offensive team anybody had ever seen. I'd coached a bunch of places. When I was at South Carolina, we played Alabama when they're national champion in Florida State, when they had a Heisman Trophy candidate and were outstanding. And but I do think that team was the best offensive team that I have been on the field with or against. And they had a quarterback who led the nation in passing efficiency. The running back was the broke the all-time record for rushing. Our offensive linemen were 6'8", 320.
Those are some big guys.
Yeah, the right guard was 6'5", 320. The center is the smallest one of the bunch, 6'3", 305, and he was the best player. The left guard, 6'6", about 305, and the left tackle, 6'5", 325. And so we could run it. We could throw it. Danny Grant, who's an academic All-American, was an academic All-American, is the all-time leading touchdown catcher here, played with that team. On the defensive side, we have the all-time record, I believe, still standing for turnover margin. We caused 46 turnovers. We were plus 33. One of our trustees, Earl Price, was one of the safeties with the team. And I got to tell you, it was a no-name defensive team. But 46 turnovers, oh, my goodness.
That's a very impressive for a season. I mean, that's outstanding. One of the questions I do following up with, you're talking about your offensive line. You always hear that your offensive line players have to be some of the smartest players on the field. Do you believe that that's true? And then also taking that a step further, I've always heard that your centers are probably one of your smartest people on the football field because of everything that they have to take into consideration.
Well, that's a very astute comment. And so the offensive linemen have so many possibilities permutations and combinations of things that can happen to him very fast. Generally, you think your quarterback has to be the most cerebral, and the offensive linemen have to be smart and body smart.
Yep.
And so for instance, on this team, we moved Julian McIntosh from left tackle in the center. We had about seven or nine guys who are 3'5 and above as freshmen. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys, and so he's in the middle. The truth of the matter is you need the center and one guy on each side. So if the center's not smart, the guards better be smart. Okay. And you do need leadership in there in terms of intelligence. But, you know, this team is an example. We moved a guy in there who could keep everybody on the same page.
Well, you talk about that intelligence, and I know one of the big things that's big for you is the grades in the classroom, including you started when you were here at AIC, the academic camp, and which even featured in the NCAA Championship magazine in 2011. Can you talk about that initiative and how that's grown over the years?
Well, our motto in very short order became champions on the field and champions in life. I taught English at Penn State as a graduate assistant, and I was part of the initial writing center, the founding writing center at Bucknell University. So I've always had a keen interest academically, not just, you know, you need to be have a good grades or something like that, but what it can do for you. Mm-hmm. Champions on the field are self-evident. We've had nine champions in my years, divisional, overall champions, various types. Champions in life, okay. What I think about college is that the evaluation of whether college has done what it needs to do for you is 10 years after you graduate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Part of this fundraising initiative with the alumni, it's been breathtaking to see the fellows that have played for me. I've had smart guys or academic All-Americans doing extremely well. One of them is a teacher, head of the science department someplace. So a big spread in what their gross income is. And I've had people who are on the margins who have become really outstanding people in the world. So we've been value-driven here. Our football team is value-driven. It's kind of a school for virtue, really. not the way people think of it, really, but it's how to live. And so the academic camp was something that Professor Payne and I, you know, everybody's here in preseason, and somehow when everybody showed up, they were like all relaxed, you know, they don't have the pressure of preseason. And so we got together and said, we got to do something for these guys. We originated Academic Camp, and it became a model for the NCAA. Professor Payne and I spoke probably 9 years ago in Baltimore at the NCAA Faculty Athletic Representative Convention. It became the model for the NCAA, and really, I think everybody in the NCAA should do what we do here. We do everything about where you sit in your classroom to how to do research. We have writing samples. Everybody's got to get up and speak, but in a presentation of PowerPoint, so we get some IT stuff there. Mm-hmm. And so we orient them, and then we meet them again. Something like 6 or 7 weeks into the semester, just see how it's all shaken out. Myself, I sit in every class with the exception of the second research because they're wandering around the library. But I get a character of everybody. And so I can see who's focused. Away from mommy and daddy, they might act out. And mm-hmm. so one of the great things about AIC, we have a learning initiative for the learning disabled, and so there's I've had a bunch of those guys, and everybody has a great asset if they have a hole in what people normally have, and you look for that in terms of coaching and how to develop people as human beings. Some people you gotta yell at, some people you gotta, you know, just kind of push them along. And so everybody's different, and we're figuring out how to get them to become champions on the field and champions in life.
Well, speaking of being a champion in life, our last question revolves a lot from sort of this moment, because you learn a lot about yourself. And that question is, what moment of your life has had the biggest impact on you?
Well, it was really I played at Bucknell, and I was a graduate assistant and a coach at Bucknell for a year, but my first kind of real job, which kind of wasn't because I was again a graduate assistant in a doctoral program, was at Penn State. And my second year there, I married my wife. Okay, she expected me to be a professor. And our son was born in preseason camp the second year. And I think that has significantly impacted how I see the world. So I see the world as real life family, okay? Yep. And then I see football as a job, but again, everything is about people. And so I think marrying my wife and having our firstborn during preseason, you know, 12 months later, I think that has given me perspective, drive, balancing, understanding you can't do everything, but you've got to find a way to be 100% for your wife, 100% for football. I talk about that with the players. I say, when you get married, you're 100% for your wife, or you're not going to have your wife very long, and 100% for your job, or you're not going to have your job very long, and you got to figure out how to make it work. So for me, I think that has been that was the thing that sorted out who I was and who I needed to become, which is still happening, by the way. Every year you have to decide who you need to become.
Well, I think that's an interesting thing. I'm reading a book currently that's talking about that work-life balance and how it's not necessarily a tit for tat, hour for hour, but so more so of actually being there in the moment and being present with those who you're around. Is that how you view that working relationship?
Well, in some ways, but I don't believe in quality time. So quality time is just something to talk about to justify while you're away. So, but I think it's a commitment of the heart, really. I think that rather than a mental divvying things up, how to make things work, which certainly happens, I think you have to be heartfelt for the things you love. And so a lot of people don't know what love is, but really what love is service. Okay, so I do my best to serve my wife, and I fail miserably a lot being a football coach, and I do the best I possibly can serve the players. That I tell the recruits' parents when they come in, well, I had three kids, and I couldn't spend enough time with them, and I got 108, and I got to tell you, it's not much different. So you're doing the best you can, and you also got to believe in the other person. I believe in my wife. I have to believe in the players. It's not me enforcing things. It's bringing out of them what they already have in their potential to become who they're going to be. And one of those things is everybody's got to struggle and fight. And when you do, sometimes it works out pretty good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Coach. We appreciate your time, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, fans, for joining us for the first ever episode of the Yellow Jacket Experience Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Poole, Director of Athletic Communications. Just giving you a heads up for this week's opening schedule. On Thursday, September 5th, we have men's soccer versus Bloomfield College at 7 p.m. Then on Saturday, they will be taking on New York Tech at 7 p.m. But before that, on the 7th, football will be kicking off their season versus Bowie State in a non-conference showdown. And then on Sunday, September 8th, field hockey will be at home to take on Molloy College at 1 p.m. Also, be sure to visit AICYellowJackets.com, where you'll be able to find out more information about the 5th Annual Yellow Jackets Club Golf Tournament and Dinner, which will be held on Monday, September 16th. And we'll see you next week.